Joy. Good. Okay. Anything else? Okay. We're getting closer now, aren't we? Well, I hope I can perk you up a little bit this morning then to realize that God wants to refresh us in truth. So I'm going to invite you to turn to an Old Testament passage. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And as we look at one of God's fascinating creations, I think we'll discover something helpful for us in the journey here below. Isaiah chapter 40, and I'm going to invite us to look at verse 27. Verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Wherever you look in Scripture, we see God's wonderful truths inscribed on the canvas of his creation. And this morning we will look at one of those most majestic of God's creatures, the eagle. Because this amazing bird portrays great truths about life and how it should be lived. I want to emphasize 2 points this morning, but I'm going to use 3 scriptures to do it. So sometimes preachers digress. You would think I'd have 3 points and maybe 1 scripture to prove it. I'm going to have 2 major points. And 3 main scriptures. Because I think God tries to reinforce truth to our hearts. So the first thing I want us to notice is that the eagle symbolizes our high calling in Christ Jesus. The eagle symbolizes our high calling in Christ Jesus. The eagle is right up and happy and at home when he's high in the air. Proverbs 23:5 says, "Who is there like the eagle that lifts itself up toward heaven?" Or, as recorded in Job 39, "The eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high. He dwells high in the rocks." The eagle is called the king of the birds, who reigns from on high. Now you will notice as you see this eagle, but might be surprised to know that there are 60 different types of eagles. Eagles are found all over the world. They are a symbol of strength and freedom. The eagle, when it is mature, will weigh about 12 pounds. And they can carry the equal weight to their body's proportion. They are amazing. in terms of their wing structure, if you see this eagle, you could look at what's called the primary feathers, the ones extended to the outside of his wing. On a mature eagle, they could be up to 20 inches long. And that wingspread of a mature eagle can be as wide as 8 feet from tip to tip. So they can soar through the winds up to speeds of 100 miles per hour. The strong thermal updrafts allow them to soar up to altitudes of 10,000 feet. That's why they're called the king of the skies. I found it very interesting to discover that eaglets, the young ones in the nests, very often fly voluntarily out of that nest at about 10 to 15 weeks of age. There may be 1 to 3 eaglets in a nest. And when they're in the nest, they exercise their legs after they've hatched and are being fed by the parents. They will jump up and down, and some have been recorded to jump above the nest 10 to 15 feet. Back down into the nest, and up we go again. Mama, come feed me. Now I'm going to do it, and up they go again. They're not flapping their wings yet. They're exercising their legs and their thighs. They're getting strong in body. Now the nests are amazing in terms of their structure. The nests are made of sticks and mud and construction material and cloth. They've even found light bulbs embedded in the nests of eagles. They won't see much with that bulb. However, it's amazing what they will put in that nest. And if the nest gets dirty, which it will, they build a second story. So an eagle's nest actually has been measured 20 feet deep and 9.5 feet across the top of the rim of the nest. Ann and I have actually seen a huge eagle's nest here on the West Coast. And you begin to be amazed at the engineering of building a nest high in a tree or way up in the rocks. And the beauty of the eagle is that the mother eagle, the female, she will hover over that nest. She will spread her wings out over to cover the eaglets, so that they do not burn from hot sun, nor are they drenched from heavy rain. There's a picture here. It's coming. Because as we think about the eagle, we're reminded again that God, in his fascinating way, has taught us from nature and in all that he has created, that he has a message for us. And some of us who are here this morning may wonder if God even sees me. Does he understand what I'm going through? Now, as you look at the next picture, I want you to begin to understand that when God created the eagle, he placed the eyes of that eagle uniquely back in the head of the eagle. In fact, the eyes of the eagle are further back in the head than many birds, And part of it is to allow 35 to 50% binocular vision with amazing depth perception. So when you look at the head of the eagle and you see its eyes, you begin to understand there's something very unique about the eyes of the eagle. The eyes of the eagle are 6 times sharper than human eyes. Now, I placed a quarter on the floor in the sanctuary this morning, 35 feet from where I'm standing. And I can see that quarter from here with 20/20 vision. But the eagle can see that quarter, which is down by Steve's chair, from 200 yards away. This is why when you think about the eagle soaring in the skies and you see him doing his loops and actually effortless going through those turbulent winds, he can spot a rabbit, and we have lots of those. He can spot a rabbit from 1,760 yards away, a mile. An eagle can spot a fish in the water or the streams from the same distance. Penetrating vision. So what does it teach us? Our high calling in Christ Jesus. We are chosen by God. Chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people, that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's how Peter describes it when he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And because of this high calling, we're taught in Scripture that we should not let the world and the world's value system shape our life. We shouldn't have our lives molded by the world. In fact, we should try exercise in terms of our minds to think more Christianly than worldly. We are very special people, folks. As God's instruments to do His work, we need to be serious about living the resurrected life of Christ by acting like it and modeling it every single day. Just like the eagle models for the eaglet how it will survive and manage well. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, look up. Let's get our eyes on the goal of Jesus and His values for us in our life. Let's get above the crowd of mediocrity. Let's begin to see that we as children of the light do not need to just delve into the latest fads and fashions as perceived as okay because everybody's doing it. But as children of light, we belong to a higher order being summoned to soar. As God's special people, not by virtue of our good deeds, and certainly not by our admirable qualities, nor even our spiritual performances, because we, as people, can mess up just as badly as any unbelieving people. Sadly, that's true. Christians can miss the mark. They can fail. They can falter. So we don't have room for boasting and being proud and bragging and say, well, I'm a Christian, I can get away with it. No. We can be truly grateful for the grace of God who shapes us to be more like him day after day after day. That's what Paul was writing about in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. When he wrote a pen to all of his friends in Ephesus in chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, he's saying, listen, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. So if we will serve, we can soar. So I have a question. Are you just shuffling about as a Christian? Or are you soaring like an eagle? Are you thrilled with the very latest thing that God has done in your life, in your home, in your family, in your workplace? Or are you absorbed with things that have little or no eternal value? Have you thought about turbulent winds lately? You say, I don't like turbulence. Actually, turbulence is good for you. You know, for the eagle, when the winds are turbulent, there are at least five or six things that are there as an advantage to the eagle. It causes the eagle effortlessly to fly higher when there's turbulence. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think that it would take more work to fly in turbulent winds than less. But his wing structure is such that it easily catches the turbulence so that he can end up with a smooth ride. He sets his wings, he maneuvers his wings in such a way that he can catch the thermal updraft, and up and away he goes, and you will see them as they circle up in the skies. Turbulence is not a problem for an eagle. He has already been tested and proven that he can do it. Not only so, when he is high above, he's got a much larger view. And not only that, he rises above harassment. The things that pester and bother an eagle the most, can you believe it? Crows. They come in packs. And I don't know if you've watched crows bombard other birds. We have it on our street. Our neighbor feeds the birds. And he has a special dish he puts out for the seagulls. And the seagulls come to get that food, and the crows decide it's for them, not for him. And you ought to see the activity on our street when the food goes out. The other thing that bothers an eagle a lot when he's down low are hawks. And owls. Now, I would think those little birds wouldn't be anything at all to an eagle. But when he rises high above, he's elevated to such a position, those birds don't even go up there. And I discovered that when there's turbulent winds and the eagle sets his wings to the turbulence, he doesn't have a problem of stalling. He can glide through those turbulent winds. He can ride long on the wind up to excessive speeds. 60 to 100 miles per hour. So how does it work in your life and mine? Did you notice in the passage of Scripture, verse 31 in Isaiah, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. And we say, Lord, don't give me any more trouble. I don't need another trial, Lord. I've had enough. But the one who knows whether we've had enough or not is God. In fact, the point of us finding we have various pressures that build in our life is to strengthen our faith. And sometimes we're contradicting God. We're saying, bail me out. Get me out of this. And he's saying, no, I'm putting you in it because I want you to become strong. James. I mean, a practical book in the New Testament is the book of James. And he starts out after his introduction and he says in verse 2 of that first chapter, my brethren, count it sheer joy when you've got trials. And most of us are saying, I thought maybe he could leave that out of Scripture. No, he knew, as did Peter, because Peter in his first epistle wrote basically the same thing in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. He said, rejoice in the trials you have for the present, since they produce lasting results to your faith. You see, our faith needs to be strengthened. The male eagles, the adult birds, will not interfere with the development of the young eaglets in the nest. They let them jump. Go ahead, have a great time. But there's something about us learning what it is to become patient and wait for the right moment for God to prove that he will sustain us, that he will see us through, that he will strengthen us to our ultimate goal, which is our salvation, said Peter. Rejoice exceedingly because you will be saved. But there's so much more. I've asked Mark to come and read for us a passage of Scripture. You might want to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103. It is a most familiar passage for many, many people. Psalm 103, and in the first five verses, we again will discover something that is a complement to what Isaiah the prophet has just said about eagles. Did you notice verse 5? All of these blessings he has just enumerated in the first four verses is so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. My second point, the first is that the eagle symbolizes for us our high calling in Christ Jesus. The second point is the eagle symbolizes our ongoing renewal in Christ Jesus. How exactly does the eagle renew its youth? Ornithologists are people who study the habits and habitat of birds. And they have made some very interesting discoveries. And in particular, one of their discoveries is one I want to share with you this morning. I don't know if you're aware that some type of eagles live to be 100 years of age. 100. Now, that's an old bird. When birds like eagles get to be 60 to 70 years of age, something interesting occurs that most of us in this room will identify with. They become noticeably weak. In fact, ornithologists would say that they're almost impotent. They squat about gloomily. They stare into nowhere. They look sickly. The strength that once made them soar the skies is gone. They appear to be on the verge of death. But then, in some mysterious way, these birds all of a sudden become mobilized from their perch, and they take off, but not skyward. They take off right into the nearest rock bluff. Their plumage shatters, their beaks break, their claws break, and they find that this way of molting, where often there are pools of blood on the rock, because of this encounter, the birds fall helpless to the base of the rock or the cliff. But there's more. After this smashing and crashing, new feathers begin to grow. New beaks form. New claws take shape in a very short period of time. And the old eagles are now rejuvenated and become young once again. Their strength is renewed. It is restored. They are revived. No longer cowering like frightened chickens, they take off and begin to soar the skies once again, piercing the clouds, moving toward the sun. If ever there was an amazing thing to discover, this is one of them. There surely must be a lesson for us. And there is. God promises to renew us from the inside out. In Isaiah passage, God gives vigor to the weary and new strength to the exhausted. Paul the apostle picks up on his passage, and Paul said it this way: though outwardly we suffer wear and tear, anybody identify with that? Oh yeah, I see quite a few. Though outwardly we suffer wear and tear, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. If you've got a pen or a highlighter, I would suggest you highlight that passage, because you need it. You may have been saved once, but that won't do for today. You need to see that there has to be an ongoing, constant process of God living his life through you, giving you exactly what you need for your day. Here's how Eugene Peterson expressed it. He said, even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Isn't that beautiful? Absolutely beautiful. Renewed strength. High calling, renewed strength. It doesn't happen automatically. When you and I align ourselves with him, He bids us to come and die. Jesus said we should take up our cross daily and follow him. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The cross is not a decoration to wear around your neck. The cross is something to die on. Set your heart and your mind on things above. How? How are we going to do that? By putting to death, by breaking off, by killing off everything connected to the old life. Get rid of meanness and slander and sexual promiscuity and lust and arrogance and hatred and greed, and on and on and on goes the list. You see, daily dying is part of real living. I like how Luther put it. Luther said this, and I quote him, "Daily dying is the secret of joy. The secret of joy is repentance." Can I say that again? Daily dying is the secret of joy. The secret of joy is repentance. Pastor Richard Getsy coined it this way, and I thought it most beautifully expresses what happens when we think about the eagle. And I quote him, "Jesus is the rock." And he spelled it out, capital R-O-C-K. Jesus Christ is the rock on which we can shatter our old nature. The rock on which our colorless feathers of mere tradition, religiosity, and churchianity can be crushed. The plumage of selfishness and slander and cynicism. The rock on which we can shatter our money-hungry, power-grabbing claws. Oh, painful indeed, he said, but it opens up new life, new integrity, new vision, new tenderness. Renewed like the eagle. The truth is, my friends, real joy cannot be ours without pain. And this is what trains us to soar again. I don't want to live in the doldrums. I want to rise above it. So some saints need an attitude and altitude adjustment if we're going to soar again. Well, let me give you the third passage. Would you turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 33? We'll talk about the life of Moses for a moment, and then I'll finish. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I love this picture. It is probably the best illustration for me to use on eagles. Here is Moses expressing his great song. He was the leader of the nation. He was thrilled with what God is doing. Let's take a peek at verse 10. Let's start at verse 10. "He found him in a desert land, and in the wasteland a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign god with him. Oh, by the way, taking them up on his wings, pinions it might say in some translations. If you look at the wing of the eagle and you see the structure of the wing, you will find it on the end where there's a lot of movement, where the air can actually move through. If an eaglet cannot manage to fly well at the beginning on its own, the adult eagle will come underneath it, and the young eaglet will be caught on this joint of an adult bird. And he will lift that bird up as the Lord lifts us up. And he'll bring him over the nest and drop him back in the nest. Says, okay, try again, buddy. Don't quit. Try again. And until that young bird can learn to flap its wings and find the strength it needs to soar through the skies, the adult birds will carefully watch over it till it can manage on its own. If you ever want to watch good artwork in the skies, take a look at the eagle. It's amazing. Now, another thing that an adult bird will do is an adult bird will fly over top of a young eaglet, and with the movement of its wings and the thermal updraft, that little guy begins to find he's sucked up. And he starts, all of a sudden, he's got it. Now, let me tell you about this passage in Deuteronomy. I absolutely love this marvelous picture of what it means to be renewed like the eagle in Moses' day. Like an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading its wings, lifting them up ever higher. Well, if you've got a pen, you should mark this passage too. This is highly instructive for us. Most eagles' nests are lined with some soft-furred animal. Rabbits. If we could put a sign up, we could tell them there's lots down here in Nanaimo. Come and get them. They lined the nests with soft fur. The female will lay 1 to 3 eggs, roughly 1 to 3 eggs, and they will hatch on that soft fur, comfortable and cozy. And as they begin to develop and get their jumping action going, and they're working at it, the adult birds will be very sensitive to what it means to stir up the nest. And what they will do is they will pluck out the fur, drop it. Now the eaglets have all that picky, pokey sticks and twigs and whatever else they built the nest with. And that's when the screeching begins. And the young ones are creating a fuss, saying, Mom, Dad, do you know what you're doing? Oh, yes, they know what they're doing. They're making it uncomfortable for you to just stay here forever and a day and expect us to feed you. So as they develop and the soft material is removed and the pokey sticks are doing their job and the birds are screeching, they're about ready to go over the edge. But you know, most of them will go over voluntarily, but some need a push. Some of them are flapping their wings quite naturally. However, they're the occasional ones who will have to be lifted back into the nest and try again, and soon they're soaring just like the master designed them. Sometimes, we as God's people need to get pushed. Sometimes we need a push to get out of our comfort zones. There are times when God may be the divine disturber, taking away our security blankets, forcing us out of our holding patterns, yes, summoning us to soar to new heights. For us as a church to soar to new heights. Now that can be scary. But he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. If an eaglet refuses to fly, it will die. So he invites us to trust him, to soar in the power of the Holy Spirit, even against the odds. Now look at your journey thus far. Most of the areas, most of the best areas of growth in your life spiritually have likely come in some dark moments where there's been some testing. When we're in the midst of a crisis, we cannot see the big picture the way we should. And then God does something beautiful in our life, and he reminds us of something. If you turn over the page from Deuteronomy 32 to Deuteronomy 33, you will see in verse 26 and 27 what I mean. He is saying to us, God is faithful. God is faithful. He assures us that underneath are the everlasting arms. And Moses saw that. Moses experienced that. You say, whoa, this isn't new. This is something God recorded in Scripture for us all to benefit from. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And God's grace is always big enough to bring joy out of pain, strength out of weakness, hope out of despair. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. He knows what is the best way to help us soar like the eagle. Now, we have a new lead pastor who's coming. Praise God. What a tremendous privilege God is giving us as a church. But I want you to know something. He can't do the ministry all by himself. If you thought, okay, let's find out. What can Pastor Tracy do? Wrong approach. Our new lead pastor will help us all to flap our wings. In other words, to do the ministry together as God designed his church, just like he designed the eagle. So let's view our high calling. Let's experience constant renewal in our life, and let us soar to the glory of God in the coming days, because God intends to do something good among us. Amen.